And I have something I want you to hear. And this is the second part of a conversation that I had with Stephen Murphy. This is a conversation that has to do with Mr. Escobar, Pablo Escobar. You all remember the man who basically terrorized the world as he ran his drugs. Listen to this conversation, and I plan to give this to you in its entirety at a later date. But let me let you hear this last half. This is riveting, and they're going to be airing it tonight on National Geographic at, I believe it's going to be 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It'll be announced in this conversation, but listen to this. All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., and I am truly glad that you are with us as I am speaking with our guest, yours and mine, Mr. Stephen Murphy, who is taking us into the pursuit of Pablo Escobar, murderous, insensitive, doesn't even begin to describe him. What else was going on in the world of Pablo Escobar as you all pursued this man who apparently was taking pleasure in all kinds of mayhem?
You're absolutely right, Carl. This is a man who, as you mentioned at the beginning, is the world's first narco-terrorist. He's the guy that introduced terroristic activities to accomplish his narcotics-related goal, which we'd never seen before. But this is also a man who, on two separate occasions, literally and publicly declared war on his own country. I mean, think about it. Declared war on his own country. It's unheard of. That's how big his ego was. This is how much greed had taken over his life. It was just unbelievable. There was an instance that we recorded where Pablo was talking on the telephone to his wife, and in the background, we could hear a guy being tortured. And Pablo was known when he ordered a death, he just didn't want the person killed. He wanted them tortured because he wanted to know everything that they were saying about him. He wanted to know, he wanted to be in control so much. This is a guy who was elected to the congressional body within the government of Colombia. Now, he didn't last long because the Minister of Justice was brave enough to stand up and call him what he was, which was a murderer and a drug trafficker. Of course, that man, Laura Bonilla, paid for that with his life. Pablo had him assassinated after that. Mm. But Pablo's goal was he wanted to be president of Colombia. I mean, I've never seen an ego that big.
That is a big ego. A murderer, a known murderer, wants to run for public office, the highest office in his nation that he has declared war against.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
So this guy also, he was known for his, he had this big ranch, and he was known for having this exotic zoo. And that's all true. He had hippos, he had rhinos, he had giraffes, elephants, zebras, exotic birds. And all that was just to flaunt his wealth. Forbes magazine rated him as the seventh richest man in the world. And they estimated his net worth at between $8 and $30 billion.
Goodness.
$1 billion.
How long had he been doing what he was doing by the time he amassed that kind of fortune?
Well, he started his criminal career in the late 70s, and quite honestly, he started out as just a petty thief. You know, he was stealing cars. He was literally stealing headstones off of graves and then sanding them down and selling the headstones back. But once he got a taste and saw how much money he could make in the cocaine market, that's when he took off. And his very first deal, it wasn't a lot. It was something like 13, 17 kilos. And this was internally in Colombia. Once he saw how much money he could make on that, he actually went and killed the guy that he got the cocaine from.
Wow.
And that's how he started moving up, was basically just through violence.
And so through his penchant to kill, to murder, I guess he did that to help him gain a great reputation very quickly, where the message was, don't mess with me.
It was, and he had a saying, and this is a very famous saying down there in Spanish, it's plata o plomo, and it means silver or lead. And the message is, you can work with me and I'll pay you money, which would be the silver, or if you don't do what I ask you, I'll give you a bullet in the form of lead.
Wow.
So plata o plomo was his famous saying.
So did this guy often recruit people against their will to do work for him?
He did. And what he would do is he would have his underlings, whether it was an attorney or whoever, and let's say that you're occupying a position of trust within the government. Let's just say that you're a judge. So he would have his attorney come to you and say, Carl, you know, this is what we'd like to do, like you to do. When you find out that there are charges coming up against some of our members, we would like you to dismiss those charges. And, of course, you being a legal and upstanding young man would say, no, that's not my responsibility in life. That's not the responsibilities of my office. Well, the next thing they would do is they pull out photographs of your wife coming out of your house with your children. And then they might show you photographs of your mom and dad driving down the street or going to a shopping mall. And they could say, you know, Carl, we'll pay you $50,000 every time you do this. And if you say no, say goodbye to your family, because not only are we going to kill you, we're going to kill your wife, your children, and your parents. And he would follow through with that.
Wow, this guy was vicious beyond belief.
He really was. He really was.
So what finally led to his capture, his downfall?
Well, DEA is very good at intercepting communications with drug traffickers. So we were working in conjunction with the Columbia National Police, who are true heroes. You know, that's my partner and I, we travel around the world, and we give presentations about Pablo Escobar and the true story. But the one thing we always point out is the Columbia National Police are the true heroes in this whole operation. So what happened is Pablo got on the phone with his son, Juan Pablo, and Pablo was directing his son to call the government and tell him this and call the media and tell him that. And, you know, basically what happened is he just stayed on the phone too long. Now, he knew better because we had intercepted phone calls before where he said, you know, hey, 3 minutes is up, I've got to hang up. But for whatever reason that day, he stayed on the phone too long. And a lieutenant with the Colombian National Police, Lieutenant Martinez, using directional finding equipment, actually located the signal of Pablo's phone. And as he's driving down the street, he looked up and he saw Pablo looking out the window talking on the phone. Mm. So we had a specialized unit close by. The lieutenant called in, and the funny thing, I think it's very neat the way this worked out. Lieutenant Martinez called his father, Colonel Martinez, who was the head of this 600-man force, the Bloque de Busqueda. So basically what you had is you had a good guy father-son team going against a bad guy father-son team, Pablo talking to his son Juan Pablo. So it's almost like that David versus Goliath type story. And so we're loading the troops up to head out there, our 600-man force. But, you know, it takes a few minutes to load 600 guys into trucks.
Yes, sir.
But the smaller unit went ahead and attacked the row house. When they got inside, Pablo engaged them in a firefight. He had one bodyguard. The bodyguard was killed after he jumped out a window, and the guys around back engaged him. And then Pablo tried to do the same thing, and basically they caught him in a crossfire, and that's how Pablo was taken down that day.
I tell you what a relief for so many.
You know, every citizen in Colombia was safer that day for the rest of their lives simply because one man was no longer in this world. That's how bad it was. Mm. The murder rate, Medellin was the murder capital of the world at that time. The murder rate plummeted by 80% after his death.
Mm. That's a powerful statement. And Facing Escobar is something that is coming on Nat Geo tonight. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, sir. This is I'm excited. I've seen the show. It's a documentary, and people might say, oh, another documentary. But what makes this one so special is Media Entertainment and National Geographic were able to locate some of the folks that have never been interviewed before. People like Octavio Vargas Silva, who was the general in charge of the entire 10,000-man Colombian National Police Department back in that day. They brought in General Maza Marcus, who was the head of DAS, which is the equivalent of the FBI here in the United States. He's interviewed. But really scary is they've interviewed a guy that goes by the name of Popeye. Popeye was one of Pablo's main assassins. He was actually in prison with Pablo in that custom-built prison, La Catedral. Popeye is now a free man in Colombia, but this guy admits to killing 300 people himself, and he also admits to directing the murders of as many as 3,000 people. this is, I mean, you talk about a mass murderer. This is the guy.
Yes, sir.
And Matt Geo was able to interview him. He's a very scary individual.
So that comes on tonight. I guess that's 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central?
9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Got you. 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Facing Escobar. This evening, everyone, this Tuesday evening, August 30th, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Stephen Murphy, you're available for speaking engagements as well. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. If you go on our website, www.deanarcos.com, you can find out more information.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for shedding so much light on such a dark part of the world's journey this century. And thank you for helping to bring it to an end.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Quite welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 8 Eastern, 9 Central.